Christ.
Glory to God.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Today is one of those Sundays with great many themes. Far too many for us to ponder here
in a sermon. For example, first, the church is preparing us for tomorrow's feast of the birth of the Virgin Mary. It's a birthday celebration of the Theotokos, and it's the first of the 12 great feasts of the church. So we'll have Vespers at 4 today and liturgy tomorrow here in the cathedral at 9. We also had readings from the scriptures preparing us for next week's feast day. That's the second of the 12 great feasts of the church. The exaltation, or you can say the elevation of the precious cross. You know, the cross will be brought out, it will be decorated with basil and flowers, and we will sing before thy cross. So for that, we heard from the Gospel of John a very famous verse for football stadium end zones. Coincidentally, the NFL begins its season today. And that verse is, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. You see in the end zone, John 3:16. Maybe not anymore, but I simply offer those things for you to consider on your own. Now, just in time for the grape harvest in wine country, we're also given a parable told by our Savior that takes place in a vineyard. It's an autobiographical parable rather than one with a moral exhortation. Autobiographical. Takes place just after Palm Sunday when the Lord delivers it. Only a few days before his crucifixion, he describes what will happen and what had happened. He tells the story of a vineyard, God's vineyard, a precious, bountiful thing. The Lord builds his parable on that found in Isaiah chapter 5, which starts, "My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it of stones, and planted it with choice vines." The story goes on. The vines made thorns and wild and sour grapes, and the vineyard owner, God, tore it out. The end of the parable that Jesus tells, the son of the vineyard owner, Jesus himself, obviously, the Son of the Father, has been taken out of the vineyard as Golgotha is outside the walls of Jerusalem, and he's crucified. At the end, Jesus quotes the famous Psalm 117, words familiar to us all. "The stone which the builders rejected has become the cornerstone of the building." I told Father Damien, I wasn't going to talk about this last night, but I can't resist myself. Stone and sun, Eben and Ben in Hebrew, they sound the same. Jesus is saying, it's not the stone, it's the sun that is the cornerstone now. And not just a messenger of God, not just a prophet, not a religious teacher, but the divine Son, of one essence with the Father, and by this Son, as we say, all things were made. This Son, says the epistle to the Colossians, is the icon, the image of the invisible God. Everybody hear that? The icon of the invisible God. He who sees Jesus sees the Father. Jesus said that himself. Jesus is saying this because he's identifying himself with that story, and he's telling us, "Lo, I am with you even to the end of the age." Because the workers in the vineyard, they thought that the owner was gone, because it says in the gospel, he went into a far country. He was gone, the owner of the vineyard, and he was expecting the harvest and the fruit. But the workers felt, he's gone. Let's kill the heir, and we will have his inheritance. But of course, God is not absent. God is never absent. We offer unto him thine own of thine own. He is everywhere present and filleth all things. Lo, I am with you, says the Savior, even to the end of the age. He is not absent. It is I that am absent from God. How? I feel God's absence because of my absence of any heartfelt prayer. You know, there's no quality without quantity. You can't get good shooting a basketball until you shot that basketball many times. You can't get good hitting that golf ball, as I've learned recently, without going out there and trying with some instruction. You can't get good at playing scales and music without some practice. We can't develop and mature in the life of prayer without some quantity. Always directing our heart toward the Lord. God seems absent because of that, because of my faithlessness, my forgetfulness of the blessings that the inheritance belongs to God, not to me. I forget his goodness. I'm disobedient to the ways of the church, which many seem to think the church is somehow separate from Jesus Christ. He is the head. It is his body. The church is his. We can't say, I believe in Jesus, but what the church teaches, I can't accept that. It's the same. It's the Lord. And we focus on horrible things so often. How many times do I hear in confession, anger at politicians and world leaders, and our hearts are filled with this kind of resentment and anger, which does you no good at all. We should be filled with sorrow, yes, and many, many prayers, but anger will not help you. What do we do then? What should we do? Well, you heard St. Paul, watch, stand fast in the faith. Be brave, be strong, he says. Let all that you do be done with love. We heard St. Paul a moment ago say that. If we, workers in the vineyard of the church, we have been given that task. We have been blessed to share the fruits, to receive the fruits of the church. Peace, love, joy, mercy, long-suffering, gentleness, self-control, all of these things. If we, the workers of the vineyard, betray the love of God because of our selfishness, because of our lack of faith, because we don't stand strong and fast, how are we different from the people described in the parable, the elders and the religious leaders? Think carefully, this story is not about them. It's about us. It's directed towards us, that we have been grafted on to the vine of Israel. We were just wild shoots. Now we've been grafted on to the house of God. And we are now told in this parable that there's an accountability that we have to give. I was in Turkey last year. How many churches did I see destroyed, turned into mosques, piles of rubble, ancient churches in ancient places that we read about, St. Nicholas of Myra, Nicaea, Chalcedon, Constantinople. We are getting to the point where this church decoration is almost done. But the main decoration that we have to worry about is not decoration, It's the vineyard of our heart to nurture that vine so it is filled with prayer and love and mercy and works of alms and true belief. The church is often called God's vineyard. This is his vineyard. It's full of good fruit, planted by Christ himself through the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's hedged about with Christ's commandments and the holy sacraments that protect our life of intimacy with Jesus Christ from the chaos and the delusion in the world, from anxiety, from fear, and from demons. It's our task, brothers and sisters, to nurture that vineyard in our heart and then to be able to just live what we know of God, which is different from the delusion of the world. The church is hedged about. It has a tower. It has a wine press. It has all those things that Jesus talked about in the parable, which are the commandments and the scriptures and the prayers and the liturgy and the fellowship. The garden is a hospital for those who are being saved. We cannot give them false, counterfeit medicine. That's what the world can give. We have something else from God, which is pure and holy and good. And the fruit will grow. We don't want this taken away from us. We don't want this to be destroyed. So let us, brothers and sisters, cleanse our hearts of anything that grows within that is not the vine with the true fruit. Let us tend it and let us give thanks and pay back, give to the owner of that vineyard that which is due to him, to love God with all our heart, all our strength, all our mind, and our neighbor as ourself. Let's remember how much we have been given. To our Lord, our gracious Lord, be glory now and ever to ages of ages. Amen.